Good to be here with you tonight. If you got your Bibles, be opening up to John chapter 14. Probably a familiar portion of Scripture to most of us. But when we say that, if as children of God we're spending our time in the Bible, a lot of the Bible is going to be familiar to us in the fact that we have spent some time in there. But you know, here in this portion of Scripture, of course, is talks about the night before Jesus died, and him with the disciples here. And let's begin reading in verse 1. The Bible says here in verse 1, it says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." He says in verse 2, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go you know, and the way you know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me." Let us open up in a word of prayer. I ask you to pray for me and pray for the service tonight. Father, we thank you, Lord, for just, Lord, another opportunity to come before your throne here tonight. Lord, we want to thank you for being God. We want to thank you, Lord, for being in control of things. We want to thank you for Jesus tonight, Lord, and for the fact that he's still in the saving business, the changing life business. God, I thank you for all these precious folks who have come out to church to hear from you tonight. Dear Lord, I pray that you would speak to all of our hearts in a special way from your word tonight. I pray, Lord, you'd give us ears to listen, hearts to receive what thus saith the Lord. God, I pray if there's one here tonight that doesn't know Jesus in the free pardon of sin, that, Lord, you'd show them their need to be saved before it's too late. God, I pray you'd encourage the discouraged here tonight. Lord, I pray you'd strengthen your children. And God, I pray that you would challenge and convict and change our hearts here tonight, Lord, for the things of God. I pray, Lord, that when we leave here tonight, we'll be able to leave saying it's been good to be in the house of God. Lord, we want to thank you in advance for what you're going to do. And Lord, we ask you it all in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. So here in verse 1, you have just a little bit of the setting here. You know, you have the night before Jesus died. The night before he goes to Calvary, to the cross, and he's up here with his disciples. You know, he goes through here and he has the part where he takes a towel and some water, and he begins to wash their feet. And you know the story how he comes to Peter, and Peter says, "Well, Lord, there's no need to wash me." And he said, "If I don't wash you, you know, you ain't have nothing to do with me." Lord, Peter said, "Don't just wash my feet, wash me from head to toe, Lord." And then he goes through and he's teaching them about doing this in remembrance of him, the Lord's Supper and things. And then he goes to the point where he tells them about how Judas Iscariot's going to betray him. And it goes on. And then and when he comes up here to verse 14, he says, he starts out, he said, "Let not your heart be troubled." You know, the disciples had been walking with this man for 3.5 years called Jesus. But yet, even in this moment here, they still had not bought into this thing about him going away, going by the cross, going ascending back to heaven. They thought like a lot that he was going to set up his kingdom here. And they began to get troubled. And he said, you know, "Let not your heart be troubled." And I was thinking on some of these things for a while here. And he said, he said, "You believe in God?" You know, most people recognize God. Most people recognize God. And he said, "You believe in God." But you know, isn't that interesting that Jesus has walked with them for 3.5 years and he knows their heart when it comes to believing in him. Now, I don't think it wasn't that they didn't believe that he was Jesus and they had seen the miracles, but this is a troubling time in their lives right now. the man that they have walked with for 3.5 years, Jesus, is getting ready to leave. And it's like the wind has been sucked out of their sail, the rug's been jerked out from underneath their feet. And he takes them, he says, "You believe in God?" He said, "Believe also in me." You know, and by the way, we're no different than that. It all comes down to belief, doesn't it, tonight? It all comes down to belief, because our finite minds can't comprehend everything that goes on.
Amen.
There's no figuring out life, is there? We don't have an answer for everything that happens. Praise God, He does. Amen. And He put it in this book right here, by the way.
Amen.
You know, the basic instructions before leaving Earth book here, the instruction book for life. Either it has all the answers to all of life's problems, or it doesn't. Amen.
That's right.
You know, and look, the Christian life is a life of faith. It's a life of believing. 4 times in the scriptures it says something about that the just shall live by faith. Shall live by faith. There's no other way for a Christian to live tonight. But that's easier said than done, isn't it? Because this is the thing. We don't know how great our faith is until trouble knocks on our door. When trouble knocks on our door, then we're going to really find out what kind of faith we have. But see, God does it so, because a faith that can't be tested is a faith that can't be trusted tonight. God wants to trust us with faith tonight that'll move mountains, as they say. The faith just the grain of a mustard seed that'll grow a big old tree that birds will live in. Yeah, faith. And he said, you know, he said, "You believe in God?" He said, "Believe also. Also in me." Now that believe tonight, I looked that up in the concordance, and both of those words there, both of those two words there, believe, do have the same meaning in the Strong's concordance. They both mean to have faith, you know, upon or with. And by the way, faith is only as great as the object that it's placed in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because we're going to go out here in just a moment and stick the keys in the car. And we're going to have place the faith that car is going to go crank up and purr like a little kitten. We're not going to even be thinking about that it's going to go, uh-uh. We don't even want to entertain that thought. And I'm with you. Cleveland's a little ways back down the road, so I'm with you. But you know, it's to have faith upon or with, it says. It says it speaks of one's spiritual well-being. To Christ. You know, some people aren't spiritually well tonight.
Amen.
And we're not talking about the lost world, because they're spiritually dead.
Amen.
As you and I used to be.
Yeah.
Ephesians said, and you hath he quickened, which is made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sin. But there are some folks tonight, because of belief or unbelief, that are not spiritually well. In fact, by the way, we all experience that at times in our life. Remember the men that come up to Jesus, they said, "Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief." And we all have some unbelief in our lives at times. Because it happens in life. He said it's to believe, it's to commit, or it's to put in trust with. These words, believe, here. So you think about it. He says, "You believe in God." He said, "Believe also in me." But now the word "also" there. Now that little word right there means a lot. When he said, "Believe also in me," he said, "You believe in God." But he said, "Believe also in me," though, right now. Remember, he said, "I got to go away." They said, Peter said he would never deny him, would never turn from him. He said, the devil wants to sift you, Peter. He wants to have you. He wants to sift you as wheat. Peter said, I'll go with you all the way, Lord. And the Lord said, actually, before the cock crows, you'll deny me thrice. And actually, only a couple of them went up there, remember, as he began to pray in the Mount of Olives. John was there, Peter was there. And they wouldn't even stay awake and pray. And Peter, when Jesus, after the soldiers come to get him, and Judas was there, and Judas said, the one that I kiss, he's the one. And after he betrayed him there, Peter was off from a distance, remember? And he went over and even warmed by the fire. But boy, when that cock crowed thrice, Peter and Jesus' eyes made contact. And Peter knew what was going on. But that word also there, it's interesting as well. It means, it has the meaning of this, the concordance said, and also. You know, believe. And believe also, he said, and believe also in me. It has the meaning even so, or therefore, or even both. You know, it says it's a cumulative force. The word also and believe, it's a cumulative force. It's more than just, you know, believing. Man, it's believing even so, whatever we experience. He said, let not your heart be troubled. I mean, they were wondering who's going to be in charge. They were wondering who's the one he's talking about that's going to betray him. But he said, even so. He said, and also, believe also in me, he said. You know, they're thinking about all these things, and he said, hey, believe in me. Believe also in me. You know, that's what God needs you and I to do tonight, folks, is to believe also. We were down in the prayer room, and, you know, praise God for churches that still pray. Don't think it a common thing anymore to pray before services. It's not a common thing anymore. It's a needful thing.
Amen.
Very needful. But it's not a common thing. And of course, you know, we've all got problems and things going on. We just do. And you know, what is the solution? Well, verse 1 gives the diagnosis and gives the prescription right there. He says, the troubled heart is the problem.
Yes.
And then he gave the prescription. He said, believe. He said, you believe in God? He said, believe also in me. Now, I understand. I know how things work. It's, I know you, when trouble's knocking on our door, it don't work as easy as saying, well, preacher said we believe it's all going to be okay. Well, I know we understand that it's going to be okay because God's in control. But I understand it's a little more than that. I mean, look, after 4 hours of surgery on a foot, Miss Powell, she wasn't wanting to hear a message. She's wanting to get home and stop it though at the drugstore first and get the pain medicine, then go home.
Amen.
But she knows that the solution is to believe also. To believe. Now, when you talk about this thing of believing also, you know, what helps us believe also? I believe, number one tonight, I believe also in Him for His Word. You got to believe also in His Word. You mark it down. A lot of Christians deal with a lot of situations because of our lack of time in this Word. It is. Remember what Romans 10:17 says? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We have a physical ear and we have an inner ear. And he said, so then faith cometh. Well, believing is simply having faith. And believing also is just some faith on top of faith tonight. And he said it comes from being in his word.
Amen.
You know, look what he said here. Look at verse 2 when he talks about his word. He said, this is just one little portion of it here. But he said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were, and by the way, talking about his word, there's some of the words that say it's a room. But he's clear. The King James Version says it's a mansion.
Sure.
And I don't know about you. I'm just an old country boy from Florida, but I know the difference between a mansion and a room.
Amen.
And he said, in my Father's house are many mansions. And listen to what he says here. If it were not so, he said, I would have told you. Talking about his word. He said, I would have told you. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. So you see here his word. He says, hey, if it were not so, he said, I would have told you. Hey, we need to, but you know what? It's a little easier to believe also in his word if we're in his word, isn't it? Sure. You know, we cannot overemphasize the importance of spending time in his word tonight. There's trouble all around. We're all definitely battling something right now. Whether it's a lost loved one, whether it's a sick loved one, whether it's a wayward child. I see in this church here, you know, there's more mature couples, and then I see younger couples coming in. And you know, the thing here is what's going to be the thing that works for all of them? It's the Word tonight. It's the Word. It's the Word of God. That's going to make the difference for the person that's been saved 50 or more years, or the person that's just, the family that's just starting out tonight. The Word is going to make the difference. But to spend the time in the Word that we need to, we're going to have to believe also in Him. If it was so easy, there'd be all the seats would be full tonight. In God's house, because people would be believing also so much that they would be there to hear from heaven.
Amen.
Wouldn't want to miss one opportunity.
Amen.
You know, we got to believe also in His Word. Now look here, hey. You know, when remember God's Word, Jesus' Word, is different than any other Word. You know, we... you know, I often tell the young people I speak with, you know, you got two things in this life. There's only two things you have to do in life, and that's die and pay taxes. And then you only have really two things in this life, and that's your word and your reputation. And they go hand in hand. You know, I praise God that His word is true tonight. In fact, you want to know how true it is? The psalmist said in Psalm 12:6, he said, the words of the Lord are pure words. So pure, he says, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. That means the silversmith has turned up the heat seven times. And that's how pure God's word is. Now, I don't know about you, but man, I want to get plugged into that word right there. Oh, that we could have a word, that our word could be as if it was put into the fire seven times greater, and it still held. That'd be an awesome word for us, wouldn't it? But the truth is, our word probably wouldn't last with the heat turned up seven times. But God said the word of the Lord is that pure tonight. Oh, for you young couples and everyone else in here tonight, you know what? What will make the difference, preacher? Hey, believing also in His word tonight. Yeah. You think about His word. Genesis said that by His word, He spoke everything into existence except for man. By His word. By His word. He spoke everything into existence but you and me. That's His word. that he wants us to believe also in. To believe also in. But you know, this is the thing tonight. You know, sometimes we have selective hearing. Amen? Now, God isn't expecting the world to listen to his word. They're lost. The Holy Spirit has to illuminate the word to their heart so that they can be saved. The Bible actually says in 1 Corinthians 2:14, it said, "For the natural man understandeth not the things of the Spirit, for they are spiritually discerned. Therefore, they are foolishness to him." To the lost person, this word is foolishness to them. And it was foolishness to you and I. It wasn't until he gave us the faith to believe and to believe also that this word became to illuminate to us. Hey, his word. He wants us to believe in it. Now look, this is the danger. He's like, preacher, that we hear that all the time. Well, you know, sometimes we tell our children things over and over and over again. They say, we hear that all the time. But repetition is the greatest teacher, isn't it? It's one of the greatest teachers. It's one of the greatest teachers. You know, we can take God at his word tonight. We can take Jesus at his word tonight. Listen what 1 John 2:5 says. But whoso keepeth his word. Whose word? God's word. Jesus' word. In him verily, truly, that word verily means, is the love of God perfected. Boy, when we keep this word, when we have the belief about us that God gives us to also believe, this word is going to perfect us tonight. You know the word. Now one of the great dangers is that as Christians, we don't take God at his word. And we don't spend time in his word like we should. Hey, it's a battle. I mean, I'm a morning person, okay? But I'm not a night person. Usually I used to get up at 5, but now it's closer to 5:30 or 6, so it's slipping a little. Now that I'm 50, it's starting to slip, and that makes it even more challenging. Now, my oldest grandson used to live with me, and he was a morning person when he was 5, 6, and he was up at 6, and once he was up, he was just ready to go. We weren't going nowhere, but he was ready to go. And so all the questions were there. And so I knew I had just a little window to get into the Word before he got up. See, it's no easier for, we don't, as missionaries, we're not sitting around just waiting to read the Word. No, there's a ministry to do. There's print shopping to do, and there's schools to go to, and trying to open up more. So it's not like it's the same for us. It is for you. We have to make time to get into his word. Peter said it like this in 1 Peter, I think it is 2:2. He said, "As newborn babes," he said, "desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby." Same way that little baby, when they come out, they want that bottle. They want that milk. And if you don't get it for them, they're going to let you know they want it. And that's so they can grow. And God said, hey, he said, we need to desire the sincere milk of the word, that we may grow thereby. You know, you remember when in Genesis 3, when the serpent come on the scene, the Bible said that he tempted Eve about the word. He said, "Yea, hath God said that you can't partake of that fruit?" He said, "Yea, hath God said?" You know, most folks that have a problem with God have a problem with God's word.
Amen.
Mark it. You can trace it back. You know, this is what thus saith the Lord tonight. The psalmist said in Psalm 119:89, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." Oh, to God, that we would be a people that would believe also in Him for His Word, for who He is. Because, you know, that's what's going to help the trouble, folks, tonight. That's what's going to help the trouble tonight. Even when Jesus was taken up into the mountain by the devil, and was tempted of Him, he said that man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Boy, the Word tonight, folks, makes the difference for the child of God. But not just the Word. Secondly, here tonight, what about this? He said, again in verse 1, he said, "Let not your heart be troubled." He said, "You believe in God? Believe also in Me." You know, our troubles should drive us to God tonight and not drive us away from Him. So a lot of times when trouble knocks on our door, if we're not careful, we'll be tempted to say, "Well, I'm not going to go to church tonight. Well, I'm not going to read my Bible right now. I'm going to take off from it." But and usually what happens if we're not careful is we our troubles take us away from God, and they should draw us to Him. And we all have troubles, not to minimize any. We all got something that we're carrying, that we're dealing with. You know what they say, you know, hey, as Christians, you're either going into a storm, you're either in a storm, or you're just coming out of a storm. But understand this. Remember what they said about Jesus. Even the winds and the waves obey this man. Who is this man that the winds and the waves obey Him? I heard one man say, "We need to quit telling Jesus how big the storms are and start telling the storms how big Jesus is." Hey, secondly here tonight, we need to believe also. Also, you know, and also in, therefore, in both of these together, we need to believe also in Him for His work tonight. Jesus is doing a work, folks. Jesus is in the saving business tonight. He's in the changing life business tonight. But you know, you have to believe that. That is the difference right there, is the believing thing. You know, the only thing you got to really do to go to heaven is believe. Not hear now. Not hear of Him, but believe. There's people say, "I always have heard that." Well, that's good, but have you always believed that? The difference between your head, where you hear, and your heart, where you believe, is about 18 inches. And there are many people that will miss heaven by 18 inches. They heard it, but they never believed it. He said that, I wrote it down here somewhere. Oh yeah, Romans 10:10. He said, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and then with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." We believe it in our heart first, but he said, hey, believe also in Him for His work. Look what he said again in verse 2. He said, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." Now, you can look at this one way or the other. This was written almost 2,000 years ago, amen, right? You know, most houses that they build, maybe they go in a year. By the time everything's done and they get finished, you move in, maybe it's been a year. But I mean, you could say, he's been working on these. Man, what a place this must be. He's been there 2,000 years. Of course, if you go over into Peter said to the Lord, "A day and a year is the same." You could say he's been gone 2,000 years. You could say he's been gone 2 days. But he said he's got, you know, he said, "I go to prepare a place for you." Listen to what John said in John 10:38. John said, "But if I do, though ye believe not me," he said, "believe the works, that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. You know, Jesus said, he even said it right here in verse 10. He said, believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. He said, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake that I do, he said. You know, some people say, well, he really didn't die. Maybe he just went to sleep. And then some people say, well, he really wasn't, you know, buried. He was just, you know, he really wasn't buried. Then they say, well, remember the Sadducees, you know, they were Sadducee, remember, because they didn't believe in the resurrection, remember? You know, they were Sadducee because of that. They didn't believe in that. And some people don't believe that he really died, that he was buried and he rose again. Hey, folks, that's the gospel. The death, the burial, the resurrection. You don't believe that, you don't go to heaven. That's the gospel. The death, he really did die. And he didn't. They didn't kill him. He laid down his life for you and me. And he really was buried. And if you don't think he really died, you know, he really was beaten with the cat of nine tails. He really died Roman crucifixion. Most people didn't endure the beating with the cat of nine tails.
That's right.
Because when your body was split wide open, you would go into shock. And many didn't survive that. But if you did survive Roman crucifixion, they put a little stob down there just below your feet and you were forced to push up so you could breathe. You would push up. And that's when, but they weren't going to leave you on the cross overnight, and so they were going to break your leg so you couldn't push up. And then you were going to die. But the Bible said not one of his legs would be broken, and they weren't. He gave up the ghost. His work on the his finished work on the cross of Calvary. He died for you. He who knew no sin took upon him our sins. He paid a debt that he didn't know, and he paid a debt that we couldn't pay.
Amen.
Believe also in him for his works. You know, Jesus is in the saving business. Luke 19:10 said, for the Son of Man is came to seek and save that which is lost. You know, the Bible says he's seated at the right hand of God today and he's praying for me and you. Do you believe? Do you believe also? Do you believe in his word? Do you believe in his work? Look here lastly tonight. Look at verse 6. Very, very familiar verse you hear a lot. Said Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You know, the Bible speaks of two ways. One right here in verse 6, and then twice in Proverbs it speaks of that there's a way that seemeth right unto a man. You know, we've all done something, brother, that seemed right. May not have always turned out right, but it seemed right at the time. But it said, but at the end thereof are the... You know, it said there is a way, that's singular, that seemeth right unto a man. But it said, but the end thereof are the ways, that's plural, of death.
Yeah.
That's the way. And then there's Jesus' way. Now look, this old world isn't looking for God's way. They constantly are trying to find another way.
Amen.
But you know, the Bible says that we are his creation. And he is the creator. He owns all of us through creation because he's the creator. But then if we're a child of his, he owns us because he bought us with a price.
Amen.
He bought us with a price tonight. And, you know, hey, believe also in his way. Of course, all of this comes back to his word tonight. We spend time in his word and we see and learn and are taught all this. I want to end up here tonight back at verse 1. And I just want to say this again. I said it earlier. He said, let not your heart be troubled. He said, you believe in God? You know, believe also in me. Hey, look, there's so much trouble in our world today. And Christians aren't exempt from it. Hey, 2 out of 3 marriages end in divorce today. And that is even over in the Christian realm as well.
Amen.
It's, you know, there's problems all over. But look what God discloses here. I said this in the beginning, but I want to end with it again. Look what God discloses the answer for trouble in a troubled heart tonight. Hey, mama, is there trouble going on tonight? Hey, daddy, is there trouble going on? Hey, young person, is there trouble going on? Are you trying to do hey, young couple, are you trying to do everything to avoid trouble? That's all great. But the best thing you and I can do tonight is believe. And believe also. He said, let not your heart be troubled. He said, you believe? Now that, you could say that's presence. He said, you believe in God? You could say that's presence. Then he said, believe also. You could say that's future. But the only way that you and I can live this Christian life tonight, it's nothing new. Of course, Solomon said there's nothing new under sin. It's nothing new. It's what this man of God preaches to you every time the doors are open about. Believe, believe, believe. Hopefully something has been said. If you're here tonight, you're not saved. The first step of belief for a lost person is Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, not that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You know what would be a tragedy to sit in this service tonight, just heard how to be saved, leave this place, and step out into eternity. Boy, if you're here tonight, you're not saved, you need to be saved before it's too late. And if you're here tonight and you are saved, whether you're a young couple or a more mature couple, boy, your heart ought to be challenged tonight to want to believe also. To want to believe also. It's not a question of when is trouble coming or will it come. It's going to happen. We're going to have to face it. But you know what? We don't have to face it alone. He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. He said, I'll go with you all the way to the end of the world. Amen. But you and I got to believe it. We got to believe it, folks. And we got to believe it. Let's stand to our feet tonight. Bow our heads in a word of prayer. And then I'm going to let Pastor Latham close the service out as he sees fit. Father, Lord, thank you for faith tonight, Lord. God, you said you give every man a measure of faith, Lord. God, you give it. You give every man a measure of faith. Lord, there's younger couples in here tonight. There's older couples in here tonight, Father. Lord, we thank you for all these folks that, Lord, call this church home. Thank you that you've brought them out tonight. Lord, I pray that you would. We believe, Lord, we believe tonight. Lord, we could go through this whole place and folks after folks would say they believe. But Lord, would you help our unbelief tonight? Help us to believe also, Lord. Because God, we want to live for you. We want to follow you, Lord. We want to be disciples of yours. Help our unbelief tonight, Lord. Bless this time of invitation in Jesus' name.